Another exciting episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles.
Woo, yeah! There's no sound effects, right?
Yeah, I would say this is going to be kind of weird doing this now without the sound effects because it's such ingrained into the show. And now it's not showing my picture for some reason.
I can
see
the picture.
Maybe just didn't show it for me. Anyway, I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G. And the man you hear clapping for me, providing the sound effects, is not Agent 70 because he's not here tonight. It's PCN underscore dirt from popculturenetwork.com.
Yeah, we really need that sound effects toolbox back.
Yeah, I wonder if I can Google effects. Hopefully this doesn't crash the show. But yes, we are the Comic Book Chronicles, and you can find all previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and Comic Book Reviews and much more on the website, theclicknation.com.
Cha-ching.
Follow the Twitter account at theclicknation.
Cha-ching.
Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/theclicknation.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
We're on Google Plus. Just search for The Click Nation, and also make sure to join the community. Just search for the Click Nation community. We're on YouTube and Google, or YouTube.com/TheClickNation.
Cha-ching.
iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
And if you ever have any feedback you want to have read on a future show, send that on over to TheClickNation@gmail.com.
Cha-ching.
So.
All right.
Let me see here. First up, we have news, of course. And just as I was telling Dirt before the show, I don't really have too much news that isn't related to the dozens and dozens of Marvel New York Comic Con teasers that were released this week. But I'll just quickly go through them. Because even after the show last Thursday, there were some on Friday that we didn't get to, of course. So there was The End from Dan Slott and Giuseppe Camicoli. There was Global from Jonathan Hickman and Nick Spencer and Stefano Caselli. There were Sinners from Charles Soleil, Higher from Kelly Sue DeConnick, Atonement from Nathan Edmondson and Phil Noto. And Nathan Edmondson was also tied to Hunted with him and Mitch Gerards. And they're the team behind the Activity from Image Comics. There was Assassin from Mike Del Mundo and Zeb Wells, Wrath from Richard Eisenhoff, and Overdrive from Trad Moore. Whew. So some of these are some are easier than others to sort of guess what they could be, and others I have no clue. So I guess New York Comic Con starts next week, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll start. Maybe by the time we record next Thursday show, we should have some announcements. And, of course, stay tuned to Comic Book Chronicles for all the latest New York Comic Con news that we'll be delivering to you from our living rooms, because at least I'm not going. But Agent 70, I think, is going at least one of the days. So
well, maybe he lives right down the street from it, so I would hope so.
Yeah, maybe he'll have some fun stories to bring back. But is there anything from this week, news-wise, that jumps out at you?
Well, a couple things I was going to mention real quick. Unity number one, it's returnable. So retailers can order as many copies as they want, and they will be able to return them at a future date. The only problem with that is that you generally have to pay to ship the books back. Depending on how the return system works, though, with Valiant, you may have to either just cut off the cover and return the cover, or you may have to return the entire book. I'm not sure yet, but returnability is kind of up in the air for what that actually stands for, but you won't get charged for the actual books. You may have to pay some extra shipping. So the other thing they announced about Unity number one is that they're going to do no reprints, they say. No. So it's going to get a first print, and then that's it. So maybe I'm sure in a trade or whatever down the road. But if you're a retailer and you're going to carry it, you got to make sure you get plenty of orders in, because apparently they're not going to go back to press on that one. The other thing was, go to your local comic book shop and see if they have any copies of Stormwatch 24 or Phantom Stranger 12. Apparently DC shipped them out to a bunch of retailers early. They weren't supposed to go on sale until next week, and a bunch of retailers got them. And, of course, we got them, and then we got the notice that we weren't supposed to sell them after we sold them. Oops. So, yeah. So, anyway, what are you going to do? But, yeah, go to your local shop, and if they got anything on the shelf, grab them, and you get to read them technically a week early.
And we've got Agent 70 with us. You all set?
Can you hear you? Hello?
Hey, hello, hello.
I can hear you.
Hello.
Okay. Hold on. Hold on. It's all...
He has to get the toolbox and effects set
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
That is important. We were missing that earlier.
I was telling Dirt before the show, I sent the invite out differently this time, so that might be why.
Yeah, because I'm sitting there like, why aren't we starting? I see you. I see you active on. You know what I mean? On Twitter, and then I saw you active. Like the green bar underneath your address on the in the Gmail window. So I was like, what's going on? What are we waiting for?
Are you planning on going to New York Comic Con?
I was, but I can't. So, yeah, I can't. I missed it. You know what? I've been trying. I may still, if someone is able to get me tickets. But, right now, as of now, I'm not. What's up? Are you going?
No.
Nah, we were just talking about news. And.
Oh, hopefully. Oh, yeah, you mean like what might be announced next week?
Yeah, we were talking about, I just ran through the teasers real quick. And I said, maybe by this time next week we'll have some answers to some of the teasers since it starts next week. And then we said, oh, but Agent 70 lives right down the street from your Comic-Con, so he'll be there.
I will. Obviously not. You know, what's funny is that this is the first New York Comic-Con I'll be missing since its inception.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah. Is my name backwards for you guys?
All right, guys, book time is over. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Your name's fine.
Oh, okay. I must have it flipped. So, but I don't even remember how I. Oh, here it is.
I think you flipped it last week.
There it is.
And let me start sharing out the link. Was there any besides New York Comic? Yeah, we got our sound effects back.
That's right.
We thought we were going to have to do the show without him. We were all
set. No, I was here. That's funny. How'd you send it out differently that I didn't get anything?
Well, you should have actually got something, because instead of creating it under my Google Plus name, I created it under the Click Nation page. And then I reshared it to everyone like I usually do. Mm-hmm. And then I started the pre-show broadcast, but then it wouldn't let me load the hangout toolbot, so I had to kill that one and do it again. And
Yeah, I mean, it's all sorts of fun.
Yeah,
gotcha. As long as we're up now, we're good.
Yeah, we're cooking gas.
Very good.
So here, I just ran across something kind of interesting, and interesting by sucks. DC, they basically had two lines of books. They had their $2.99 books and their $3.99 books. Their $2.99 books were your standard 20-page books. $3.99 books were 20-page books with an 8-page backup story. So you paid an extra buck, and they usually had an 8-page backup story going on the back. Well, apparently, now that Villains Month is over, books like Detective and Action both came out, had the same $3.99 cover price as usual, but they both had 22 pages of story, and that was it.
Oh,
hmm.
No good.
So
less bang for the buck.
But the cover stock is thicker.
Oh, glossy.
So
for the people that don't get bags and boards, right?
Right, I guess. So I guess we'll have to see what other titles that bleeds off to.
Could I just say how awesome Dirt is? Because even though I started this event late, he's already uploaded photos to the Google Plus event for it.
You know, as soon as I saw you send out the invitation, I knew I had to get it done. So I just dumped them on there as fast as I could.
The man's a machine, I tell you.
Hmm.
So professional.
Well, the covers are like my one thing. Mm-hmm. So and I had to make sure to get to them.
And do them well.
Yeah, I was about to say next week, you know, like I'll know exactly by Thursday whether or not I have any chance of going to at least a day or two of New York Comic Con. So we can hold off on any bad news until next week.
There was something else, now that I think about it, if I can find it real quick. DC released the list of books that they are releasing on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve.
Oh, yeah, I saw a link for that.
And basically, I believe Christmas and New Year's are both on Wednesdays this year. Mm-hmm. So they're going to ship them the week beforehand, and then they're telling retailers they can go ahead and sell them on the Tuesday.
Okay.
Instead of obviously waiting for the Wednesday. Let me see if I can find that email. Here it is.
So basically, they're shipping them a week ahead, and they're shipping them a week ahead and telling the retailers to hold on to them, right?
Right. So, like on December 18th, in our shipment, we'll have Forever Evil 4 and Justice League 26, and then we have to hold those two books until December 24th. So you can go in on Christmas Eve and pick up those two books from DC. So we're getting those two from DC, and then the one book from Image, The Saviors. And so far, that's all that's been announced for Christmas Eve. And then on December 31st, the following Tuesday, these books are actually going to arrive on Friday, December 27th, but will be held until Tuesday. You're going to get Adventures of Superman 8, All-Star Western 26, Aquaman 26, Batman the Dark Knight 26, Beware the Batman number 3, Catwoman 26, Damian Son of Batman 3, DC Universe versus Masters of the Universe 5, Dead Boy Detectives number 1, which I don't know what that is. It might be a Vertigo. Flash 26, Forever Evil Argus number 3, Green Team 7, Injustice 12, Justice League Dark 26, Larfleeze 6, Red Lanterns 26, Sandman Overture number 2, Superman 26, Talon 14, Teen Titans 26, Tom Strong 6, and Vertigo Essentials American Vampire 1. So basically, you're getting a full week.
Wow.
That's going to be available on New Year's Eve.
Man.
Instead of just like the two or three books like it was last year.
Wow. So I don't think Marvel's made any announcements yet for Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, so we'll have to wait and see what they have. But looks like DC's doing big name books for Christmas Eve and a full plate the week after.
Perfect way to spend the holidays.
Yeah, much better than spending it with family.
Yes, who wants to do all that? Right.
See,
on.
That's why we need the sound. Because those jokes are 1,000 times funnier when you've actually got a laugh track.
All righty. So what I missed so far?
Nothing.
That was it.
All right.
the teasers and what Dirt just went over with news.
Okay.
You have any news you want to
mention? I've been out of the loop most of the week. Really haven't seen too much. You know, are we going to do a quick review of Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
That is on my notes.
Okay.
Would help if I looked at my notes. So this week, just overall, I enjoyed this week's episode more than the pilot, which I guess some people, it just, I guess, depends on your cup of tea. I was going to say, usually pilots are kind of, you know, it just helps you set up the show.
Right. It's all and about then, the setup.
Yeah, now we're starting to get into the team dynamic, and of course, they don't get along with each other in the beginning, but then there's a threat that sort of pulls them together, at least this time, to get the job done. And of course, the cameo at the end.
That was kind of awesome. I have to admit, that was kind of awesome. You know, that made me geek out or fanboy it up just a little bit right at the end. I was just like, okay, you got me hook, line, and sinker on that one.
I have not seen it.
Won't say anything. Although you probably figured it out.
Yeah,
but
I've been by the bleeding pool. I know what happens.
Can't escape it.
Exactly. Unless you absolutely, you know, go radio silent.
Yeah, but again, I mean, it's one of those things where I don't know. The pilot just didn't grab me enough. I'm really not all that enthused for it. So, you know, I'll watch the second one sometime over the weekend, and maybe that will get me re-energized for the series. But, you know, as of right now, I'm just kind of like, meh.
I had fun watching it, and I think that's really important to tell people and for people to know. I actually enjoyed, you know, just seeing, you know, beat to beat, the development in the story and the development of the characters. Yeah, you know, the acting is, you know, for some of them is kind of wooden, you know, but yeah. Ultimately I had fun watching it, and that's important.
That's all you can ask for out of a show, I think.
Right.
And I will mention Arrow starts back next week, but this week they did a season one recap, which was pretty nice. Get you back familiar with the characters, the plot thread, and the main story, how season one ended. So that was fun. And once season two starts up, we'll start adding that to our reviewing also, along with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So you'll get your Marvel and DC fix TV-wise right here on Comic Book Chronicles.
There you go.
And with that, that's all news. So now we can jump on into this week's comics, provided from our list from comiclist.com.
Oh, wait, before we start, let's remind everybody that if they come to Google+, we have the Q&A up. So audience members can submit questions, and the questions will appear on the side of our little chat window, and we can see them and respond to them.
Indeed. Get this thing going.
I mean, if you still want to tweet him, you know, Tim's addicted to Twitter. He'll still keep checking his tweets all night. But still, we do have an official outlet here.
Yes.
Yeah, make sure you hashtag it Comic Book Chronicles. And, you know, if the rest of us will have a feed up just for that hashtag. So we'll see it. So hashtag it Comic Book Chronicles.
And then my braids are down for nothing already, I see. It's going to be one of them nights.
It's only game one.
Yeah.
At least it's not a play-in game, you know what I mean? Or a one-game elimination. Imagine that.
Yeah. We thankfully got to skip that portion.
That's right.
All right, so let's see. The first publisher up to be reviewed will be, unless someone stops me,
Avatar.
Screw it. Avatar it is.
I have an Avatar book. I have Absolution Rubicon number 4. For a quick recap, anybody who hasn't been following the series, which is probably everybody, there's a character named John Dusk who's a former police officer, and he worked in this special police unit where everybody had superpowers. So they were basically the Super Friends police force, and he turned rogue He was sick of watching scumbags walk away clean, so he started offing them himself. And he was found out, went rogue, left the force, and is now living on his own. And he's been fighting this villain called the Polymorph. And the Polymorph basically has the ability to take anything that could harm him and instantly turn it into a power that he can then project out to hurt other people or to build up a tolerance within himself. So he's basically the hardest villain, you know, for anybody to actually destroy. And he finally, in this issue, he figures out how to defeat this guy. And this issue sets it up where it looks like the Polymorph is defeated, but in defeat, he basically has this idea of, well, if I go down, I'm taking everybody else in the world with me. And he starts what appears to be some sort of nuclear event that's going to kill everybody. And so now it's kind of the question of, well, how the heck do you stop that from happening? So he finally figured out one unsolvable problem just to be set up with another unsolvable problem. So I really like this series. It's from Christos Gage. The original came out in 2009. This is a follow-up series. It's only 5 issues, only one more issue left. But this is really the only book that's coming out from Avatar right now that I'm reading, and I love it. The end.
Avatar, ladies and gentlemen. Is that it for Avatar?
Well, they also have...
Let's see that.
Night of the Living Dead, if I can find that one, which this series was started with, who's the guy who worked with John Romero, the other guy, or George Romero? It was John Russo? Is that his name? Anyway.
That name doesn't ring a bell to me, but.
There were, you know, two guys. George Romero is the one that got famous, and the other guy, you know, never got famous. But he started doing Night of the Living Dead with Avatar a couple of years ago, and they've spun it off into their own version of the universe. So there's that one out. And it's basically just, you know, excuse for a lot of gore and nudity. That's all that series is. But, I mean, you know, for some people, it's all you need.
Okay. Let's see. Seeing if Boom had anything worth mentioning. I guess hit number 2 of 4 came out this week. I still haven't gotten to hit number 1, and as the weeks go on, it's probably be slim chance I actually do give it a read. Oh, RoboCop Last Stand number 3 of 8. And that's an eight issue limited series. That's kind of long.
I've got hit 1 and 2 on my tablet. I was meaning on reading, but I didn't get a chance to get to.
Yeah, I still got 1. Hope maybe I'll get to it. At least I can at least thumb through it to see if it catches my attention.
Yeah, RoboCop. I'm still like I kind of like the story, although it seems like they may have simplified it a little bit. It seems a little too like there's no shades of gray really on any of the characters. They're either like the worst oppressive types of all time, or they're wonderful people standing up for the man, you know. But it's the artwork just kills me on this book because it's so it just so many places looks rushed. It looks kind of scribbled in a lot of places, so it kind of annoys me.
Okay.
But the one series from Boom that I am reading regularly still is Suicide Risk, and I still love this series a lot. This is also kind of similar in a way to Absolution. It's a cop who is tired of seeing the, you know, scum villains, you know, get away with everything. So he gets powers for himself from this drug that's sold on the streets. But every time he uses it, there's a chance that he could die from it. And that's why it comes down to suicide risk. At first, you think it's suicide risk because he's putting his life on the line and these supervillains are going to destroy him. But then you find out it's actually the powers that are killing him from the inside. And they had a single storyline kind of flowing through for a while. And then I thought this was a limited series, so I was waiting for it to wrap up. And then suddenly it went into this other kind of subplot. And then it kind of pops out and the series is still going. So it looks like it's been either moved to an ongoing or it was an ongoing all along, and I just somewhere, you know, mistakenly thought it was a miniseries. But I like the twists and turns it's putting in there, and it's another one of those books where, because it's their own world, nobody's safe. So you never really know, like, which characters are going to survive, you know, to the next issue and which ones aren't.
Okay.
Still sounds overly morbid.
Well, I need something uplifting.
Oh, you know what we didn't mention?
What's
Boom,
that?
Didn't Boom sign a movie deal with the studio? 20th Century Fox or something like 20, or maybe not 20th Century. They signed a movie deal with somebody.
For what?
To, hold on.
Which property? Oh, was it a lot of properties?
Movie. Let's see if I can find.
See, this is what you're supposed to do before the show.
Fox and Boom Studios have inked an innovative licensing deal. Let me actually click on the link and read it. This is coming from themarysue.com.
Oh, of course. That's my favorite website.
Yes. Give me a second as the page loads.
Yeah, it took a while for it to load, so let's see.
We'll wait for that.
Well, the Pact, hold on. From the Hollywood Reporter, the Pact.
What's the next company on the list?
Potentially could be. No, I've got it. I pulled it up. You want me to read it?
Dark Horse Comics. Is that the Star Wars number 2 came out? Oh, you got it.
What happened?
There's some sort of disconnect going on.
Okay, so the Hollywood Reporter is saying that 20th Century Fox just finalized a deal with Boom.
I'm losing Tim.
Hello?
Tim's cutting in and out and slowing down. And
can you not hear me?
I can hear you now.
Oh, now. Hello, testing.
1, 2, 3.
Hello? Testing.
1, 2, 3.
I'm here.
All right. We lost you there for a second.
Sound off.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I can hear you.
Okay. So, the Hollywood Reporter is saying that 20th Century Fox just finalized a deal with Boom Studios that would give the movie studio first look rights on any movie adaptation based on a Boom Studios property, in many ways meaning that Boom is not tied to Fox as Marvel is tied to Disney and DC is to Marvel or to Warner Brothers.
So it's just a first look, first rights deal.
So this is from the Hollywood Reporter. It says the Pact potentially could be one of the most lucrative underlying rights deals ever made with a comic book company. According to insiders, as part of a new Pact, Boom, in an unprecedented move, will get first dollar gross on the movies made from its properties, with those earnings being split 50-50 between the publisher and the adapted comics creators. In an era where Jack Kirby doesn't get paid for the Avengers, we are bringing the Jack Kirbys into the circle, said Boom's Ross Ritchie. Not bad.
So quick, everybody, sell a series to Boom.
Boom's on the come up.
Need to get paid.
Because you actually get to keep your intellectual rights. We the people.
There you go.
Anything else anyone wants to add to that? Any extra thoughts? Nope. Cool.
Nada.
Dark Horse. The Star Wars number 2 of 8. I tried reading issue 1 and had no clue what was going on, so that's all of that I'll be reading.
Did anyone read Occultist number 1? I see there's a number 1 there.
It's 1 of 5, so a limited series. But no, I did not read it.
I didn't get a chance to read it. I saw it was a number 1, you know, in our line of work as reviewers, we should be trying out these number 1s, right? But I just didn't have a chance to read it. So hopefully I'll have a chance and review it next week.
Occultist has been around before.
Okay.
This is a revival of the property. I want to say it actually has ties. Let's see. back a few years ago, I think, when Dark Horse did the whole Magnus and Solar and all of that stuff, somehow the occultists tied in with all that, but I was never really clear how exactly it tied in with that publishing arrangement. I don't remember if it was an old Dell property that they got the rights to also, or what the deal was with that, but
okay.
It came back for a special back in those days, and it may have had like a 3-issue mini.
Okay, interesting. And then,
so now they're doing a 5, so.
I'd never heard of it, so, you know, it seemed new to me, but I guess Dark Horse is doing a revival with some superhero-based titles, right? So
yeah. Well, they said at
San Diego, I think, right?
Well, no, I want to say like at C2E2 last year, somebody asked them about that. Like, why are you suddenly doing all of these superhero books? And they said that it wasn't really anything that they had planned. It was just kind of one of those things where a bunch of people had ideas and they all seemed to come together at the same time. So suddenly Dark Horse has all these superhero books, but it wasn't like they set out to do a whole bunch of superhero comics all at once.
Just sort of progress naturally.
Yeah.
And I will say, I was, before the show, I was listening to another podcast show that had Josh Williamson on as a guest, and he was sort of hyping his two books from, well, actually one from Dark Horse, Captain Midnight, and he brought up how issues 4 and 5 are introducing Skyman, who is going to be, you know, broken out into his own limited series, and basically how all the, not all, but because if I said all, that would include that Comixology, was it not Comixology, Comic Catalyst Comics, but their superhero books are going to tie together and could be leading to some type of like crossover or event later down the line. So I always like it when books tie together, especially if they're sharing the same universe.
All right, cool.
I'm trying to look it up on a Comic Vine right now, and the Occultists, the original series came out December 2010 from Dark Horse, and it was printed in that same format as Magnus and Solar Man of the Atom, where they had a little logo on the side and then the title bar across the top. It looked exactly the same as those books, but it actually looks like it may be an original Dark Horse character. So I'm not sure. Maybe they just created an original character and they were trying to tie it in with those books. I don't know what the deal was, but they had an appearance in Dark Horse Presents, and then another, it looks like another one shot, and then this one shot, and this ongoing series, five-issue series, whatever. So, anyway, he's been around for a little bit.
Okay.
And that should be it from Dark Horse. Yeah.
Well, did anybody read the Star Wars?
Nada.
Nope. I'm done with it after one issue that I barely half read.
I've got a copy to read. I just haven't had a chance yet.
Did you like the first issue?
I did, although I was very confused because the names, you know, overlap, and a lot of the characters are not at all what they were, you know, from the series that we're familiar with. So it just, I kept getting confused in a lot of spots, but.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for being galactic sci-fi space opera, you know, whatever, it definitely had the same type of feel to it.
Okay. So
I'll try to read it this weekend. I'm turning into Tim.
You hear a lot of that on the show this weekend, this weekend. I will say before we get to DC, which is coming up next, I did read a lot of the Villains Month issue, at least as many as I could, since the regular stuff was going to start back this week. So I still have a lot more Villains Month books to read, but yeah.
Were there any that stood out to you?
Oh wow, I liked the Doomsday for, of course, Brett Booth's art. It was odd because I didn't understand why Zod was in it. It seemed like a Zod book more than, like a Zod Supergirl book more than Doomsday.
I agree with that.
Yeah, it was weird. It was one of those where you couldn't really tell, like, what the point of it was and how it tied in with anything.
That was, like, the dream and story.
Yeah.
It was, like a bedtime story type thing.
Yeah, yeah. And it looked like at first it was set on Krypton in the past, but then it kind of seemed like it might have been somewhere else in the future. So it was kind of hard to tell what exactly it was.
I read the Cyborg Superman, which introduced him. Mm-hmm. Even though I didn't understand how, whatever his name is, is he Zor-El? Whatever. I think he's a Zor-El.
I forgot already, man.
Whatever.
I read so many of those. I forgot half.
That was 5 weeks ago.
Quarters, man.
How did Supergirl's dad go from having blonde hair to having black hair when he got turned into a cyborg?
Oh, that was because Brainiac changed his identity. He rebuilt him.
Yeah, he just
better, stronger, faster.
Well, no, he rebuilt him. He rebuilt him to resemble Superman. So he basically, plastic surgery in a wig.
I read the Court of Owls, which was nothing special really. Read the Rogues, which I like that the Rogues.
All the Flash ones were good.
I can tell you which ones I still had. Oh, I did the joke. I skimmed through the Joker one. That didn't really interest me. I'm going to read The Joker's Daughter just because I heard how horrible it is.
Oh, no.
I want to see how horrible it is for myself. I like the Secret Society issue of Justice League, whichever Justice League that was. I still have the Bane, the Green Lantern books. Because I want to read the Green Lanterns before I jump into Green Lantern from this week. And Ra's al Ghul, I got to read. So yeah, it's like maybe 6-ish more Villains Month stuff I want to try to read. But this week we had our regularly scheduled DC Comics back. Anyone read? Yes, standing applause. I was actually excited. I even reviewed a book this week from DC.
No kidding.
Yeah, I know.
Just looking at it.
As Dirt teased me about. But Action Comics number 24, did anyone give this a read?
I did.
How'd it go?
It was weird. The Psycho Pirate has made his new 52 appearance, and he is completely different from who he was in the past. Basically, in this version, Hive, which is one of those... superhero terrorist type groups, whatever.
Theme type, yeah.
Yeah, but they're a B theme, because they're Hive.
That's right.
Yeah. It's different. They've been basically working under the control of Brainiac. So Brainiac's tentacles are weaving even further into the DC universe. And they were basically stealing anybody with psychic powers and putting them into these... basically honeycomb is what they look like, underground, and stealing all of their energy to make the queen of Hive stronger. And Psycho Pirate basically is one of these people. He managed to escape, and so he takes what's called the Medusa mask that has these psionic snakes kind of slithering out of it, and he decides that he's going to free everybody. He's going to get rid of all of Hive. He's going to get rid of Brainiac. He's going to be the hero, but in order to do that, he needs Superman's latent psychic abilities that he thinks Superman has. Because obviously Superman has all these powers. He must have psychic powers as well.
This already sounds very convoluted.
Well, it's one of those things where...
Psychic powers, really?
Well, but that's just the thing. Superman's like, what are you talking about? I don't have psychic powers. And Psycho Pirate's like, well, you must. You have every other power in the universe. Why wouldn't you? And so
there's some fanboy service right there.
Yeah, so he kind of steals. He's trying to steal it from him. They get into the big fight. And at the end, somehow, and somewhere I missed something, so I got to go back. But somehow Lois Lane was hit with some burst of psychic energy that put her in a coma. And she wakes out of it only to manifest blue electronic power almost, and she looks kind of like the blue Superman from the Blue and Red series that happened in the late 90s.
Those are good times, Nas.
So there's this blue electronic Lois Lane. It's Scott Lobdell, so, I mean, I guess I should have expected something like this to happen.
But, Scott Lobdell.
So that happened.
That's okay. It's, if I remember, I remember the Superman book. Seems like some, at least one of them is supposed to be changing creative teams. I can't remember if it was this one or Superman. Which one is Greg Pak writing besides Batman and Superman? Because I think he's doing another one. Maybe not.
No, anyway. You might be right. I think I remember seeing. I remember
whichever one he was going to write along with Batman and Superman. I was going to give a shot to. So.
Take a look.
While he's doing that, Batman Black and White number 2 of 6 came out. I need to go back and read the first one.
Well, you don't need to. They're anthology stories, so.
Yeah, but I want to.
Well, if you want to, fine. I don't know. My problem with Batman Black and White is that some of the artists really are suited for Black and White, and it looks great, and other artists, they look like they didn't do anything different from their normal comic book artwork. It just happens to be, like, still in pencil. It just happens to be black and white.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
I didn't have a chance to read it, so.
Wish but you liked it, Dirt?
Well, it's anthology stories, so I could say there were a couple of them I liked and a couple of them that I really didn't care for, you know? I mean, it's just kind of what happens with anthologies.
How many stories is it total in the book?
I think there were 4, if I remember correctly.
Okay. All right. Batwing number 24. I will read this weekend.
Yay. This is fun.
Nice. Good.
Yeah, this is actually, this is the one that I got an email, you know, alert from pull list at Comixology where you can keep track of what's coming out. And, you know, this is one of the books listed for this week. And I got real excited when I saw the cover. I was like, oh, my gosh, it's not a villain's book. Like, that's over. And they've definitely kind of changed the tone on this one from where it had been for the last 2 years before when it was in Africa. And it was very dark and drug runners and, you know, child slave rings and all that kind of stuff. Now it's much more that superhero-y type stuff. They again tease the Batman Beyond suit kind of hidden in the background of one of the labs. And, you know, just do a bunch of fun little stuff like that. His suit gets shorted out, so he's falling out of the sky and he's waiting for it to reboot. And he makes some sort of comment like, you know, the guys who design the suits never wear the suits. That's why they always have the stupid reboot feature in the middle of them, you know, stuff like that.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's just kind of one of those, doesn't take itself too seriously, and just an enjoyable book.
It's good.
Yeah, and like you were saying before, it was just based in Africa, and now he's supposed to be this sort of a globe-trotting hero, so he'll be jumping around to different locations.
Yeah, he came back to Gotham. Well, I mean, technically, the other guy quit. And so Batman had to find a new guy to fill the suit. So in Gotham, he finds the son of Lucius Fox, makes him the new Batwing. And he's a MMA fighter in training. So future issues are going to feature almost like a James Bond style where he's going to go to this MMA MMA tournament, whatever, in another country, and then, you know, Batwing appears. Dun, dun, dun.
Okay. Next up is Detective Comics number 24. Is this one with Wraith in it?
Yep.
Oh, okay. I didn't
read it. I actually read this, or skimmed it. I didn't really have a chance to read it. So
I read it.
Go ahead.
Well, no, let me hear what you thought.
Well, it seemed that, I'm trying to pull it up now so I can refresh my memory. I guess they're moving towards a confrontation at the beginning of the book with Wrath. I just have to say the one thing that made me, you know, open this and flip through it was Fabok's art. I think he's really growing into his own style. It's definitely influenced by David Finch, of all people. I definitely think he's got some Finch influence in there, but the art is very strong in this. So, the issue moves towards a confrontation between Batman and Wrath, and it's I thought it was it's fairly standard superhero fare, but the art I thought was pretty well done.
Yeah, I've enjoyed the story about Wrath basically being the anti-Batman, rich guy, lots of gadgets, but he's got a grudge instead of wanting to be a hero. And the story, comes full circle and wraps up at the end of this one. Gordon actually plays a pretty big part in the story, which is fun. I always like when they pull in some of those other characters and have them play a part of it. There's also kind of this... there's this other character. One of the things that was big in the Bat books in like the 90s is they were taking characters like Harvey Bullock and Rene Montoya and taking those characters and kind of bringing them to the forefront and having them interact with Batman a lot more. And there's this Officer Wallace, who basically, he hates Batman. He's the vigilante. He's the one taking their job. He needs to stay out of it, let the police handle it, et cetera, et cetera. And he finally, I guess you could say, kind of comes around in this one, realizes the value of having a character like that and realizing what he actually stands up for. And so he, kind of sees the error of his ways, and he kind of comes to the forefront also as another guy on the street character who has a different view of who Batman is. And you kind of get this feeling like he's not a one and done character.
Right. This isn't the last where you're going to see him.
Yeah. He appeared, I think, in the last three parts of the story. He's had at least, a cameo in all of them. And he has a kind of a confrontation with Batman one-on-one afterwards, just kind of has a, dialogue with him, kind of working through, talking about how he feels as a cop dealing with this vigilante out there, whatever. But I like the character, and I definitely hope that he does stick around. And if they do, with the TV series coming, that's going to be focusing on the Gotham PD, I'm kind of wondering if they're planting the seed for that character to appear in the series. And then when they do the inevitable comic book based on the TV show, based off the comics, that he'll be in that comic.
I would not be surprised by that. That's probably a good bit of forethought right there.
And if when it happens, you can say you heard it here first.
That's right.
Right here on Comic Book Chronicles.
Earth 2, number 16. This, I believe, is James Robinson's last issue. Too bad I don't read the book. But I just thought I'd put that out there for people to know.
Yeah, I don't think I've touched this book, this title more than once.
I may try it after it changes creative teams, but I read the first, two or three issues when it launched, because I love the idea of parallel Earths and the alternate histories and all that kind of stuff, but it just did nothing for me. So I'm hoping the new creative team will spark it back into life.
Let me ask you something. I think I talked about this on the show before. Are alternate Earths, do you believe alternate Earths are the same as alternate timelines? Are they the same, one and the same?
No. Because the difference is, I don't know how you really get into it. The timeline, alternate timelines are made because there's a change somewhere in the time stream that creates this fork.
Right.
Whereas a parallel Earth is its own independent universe. It just exists through this wall of energy. You hear a lot of guys when they talk about like string theory and things like that, where multiple states of energy can exist in the same place at the same time. They just don't interact at all because the energies don't influence each other. And so the idea of a parallel Earth is it's another world that's kind of occupying the same space that we are, but it's like a different plane of existence, so it doesn't interact with us. whereas an alternate timeline would be Back to the Future 2, where I go back and I change something and that creates a fork in the time stream.
That's probably the reason, because I'm a fan of alternate timelines, but I'm not so much a fan of alternate Earths. That's probably that's always been my issue with DC, is how they hype all these 52 Earths.
Yeah, I like the idea of parallel Earths just because it's more of a, you can travel from one Earth to the other Earth, and that was kind of a big thing with Justice Society and Justice League throughout the 70s and 80s, and I always loved those stories growing up. Whereas a timeline thing, it's kind of like once you fix that problem in the time stream, then the people from the alternate timeline kind of disappear or go back to their timeline, and then you can't really interact with them again. Like once you fix that rupture, then the timelines separate back out and you can't talk to those people again or do anything with them.
Think of it more like, you know, dimension hopping as opposed to time hopping. If you get my meaning.
Yeah. I guess that's why of course I like the X-Men, because they have all the alternate timelines.
Right. So it's really much more like, you know, I guess what I used to remember is, you know, stepping into another dimension. You know what I mean? So that would be my take on these alternate, you know, these 52 alternate Earths.
I might do like Dirt, and also once the new creative team comes on, give it a try. Because at least, because it seems like Earth 2 is going to possibly tie into the stuff going on with Forever Evil and...
Yeah, well, and I like Darkseid and Desaad and, you know, the New Gods and all that kind of stuff. So I always kind of wanted to read it, you know, but...
I don't even know who Desaad is. I know the name, but...
Well, you didn't watch the Super Friends?
Yeah, no, not Super Friends. Whatchamacallit, Justice League or Justice League Unlimited, he was there.
Was he in that too?
Yeah.
I probably...
It's a lot more recent.
Since I didn't care about him, I probably just ignored that episode.
Well, it's all Darkseid. You know, that's like Darkseid's right-hand minion.
Oh, okay.
He walked all hunched over. I think he had a
he was a henchman. You don't learn the henchmen's names.
Yeah, he's a pretty powerful henchman.
So you don't get too close to the hired help?
Don't get attached.
They're disposable, interchangeable.
Or you get dealt with like Lex Luthor deals with his employees. Which leads us into Forever Evil number 2 of 7, which I reviewed
on
ClickNation.com.
What happened there?
Yes, someone got a call or something.
No, that's me. I got to turn off some volume. We caught tweets from Dork Geekus.
Oh, okay. That was a tweet deck notification I heard.
Yeah. That's my fault.
It's like I recognize that. But speaking of Dork Geekus, thanks for tuning in tonight. He says, Marvel did alternate timelines to death with X-Men alone. Yeah, but I loved it. Make mine Marvel. But I'm liking DC now. I'm getting into the DC stuff. Can't be a hater anymore. But
a lot of it is still frustrating to read, though. That's really my biggest problem with it.
I was going to say, you know, it kind of goes back to the whole thing where when do you ever see people going, you know, CBS sitcoms are the best. ABC sitcoms are the best. You know, I mean, it's just kind of one of those things where.
Yeah, it's either this show is the best, Breaking Bad or The Wire. Which one's the best TV show? Mine is, you know, I gravitate towards the franchise, which is the X-Men. If X-Men was on was DC, I'd be a DC fanboy.
All right, so what'd you think of it? Oh, okay, good.
I was going to say, we can just move on to Forever Evil number 2. I liked it. It was, you know, I was happy to have this event back. Like I said in my review, just...
What do you mean, like the miniseries?
DC stalled itself by doing the whole month of villain stuff, because to me, it seemed like it ended the momentum they had going into Forever Evil after Trinity War ended, and then Forever Evil number 1 came out, and then, wait a month while we read all these stories where hopefully 50% of them are actually good. So now we're back. This issue focused more on the crime syndicate, whatever mysterious refugee they brought with them from Earth 3.
Yeah, who do you think that is?
I saw Newsarama had an article guessing right. who it was. I have no clue because I'm not deep in DC knowledge like everyone else. I'll go out and say it's the Lex Luthor from or Alexander Luthor or whoever from Earth 3.
I think that's the easy answer. I think it's Lex Luthor from Earth 3.
It almost seems too easy, though. Like, on the one hand, you would kind of expect them to do that because he's a character that fits in, but then at the same time, I always think that they're going to try to defy your expectation somehow. You know what I mean?
But then they said that that they could use him as a weapon and throw him at something. So at least pre-New 52, the Alexander Luthor didn't have any powers, right?
Yeah, he was just a regular guy.
Unless they decide to, like, ramp him up somehow. But who's your guess, Dirt?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean,
it's Wally West.
Alexander Luthor was the only thing I could think of. But like you said, he doesn't have power, so I don't know.
They also said it could be the Monitor, whoever that is.
From Crisis.
Mm. You see, that's another thing about DC. Too many crises.
I'm almost wondering, like, I kind of want to go back and read through Flashpoint again, because I almost wonder if it's some sort of holdover from the old universe that got pulled into Earth 3 that let it be known to them that there are all these other universes that they need to go out and conquer.
Okay.
But, I mean, or it could just be Clark Kent from, you know, from Earth 5. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. I didn't like how the Teen Titans were dealt with so quickly. They sort of pumped them up big time, and then nothing happened.
Well, I kind of presumed that they would be punked out somehow. I thought it was kind of weird. It was so that they wouldn't be completely embarrassed that they got rid of them the way they did.
Well, I figure that there's going to be a Teen Titans issue that shows it from their point of view. So I just kind of chalked it up to that.
Yeah, that's supposed to be the next arc is them in the future and finding out about Bart Allen's origin, basically.
Yeah. I did like the Bizarro tie-in, how they, you know, brought the character in. I mean, you got his origin in the specials, kind of, although that was more of a Luther-centric issue. But, I mean, it made sense that they introduced the character because now you've got him. And then at the end of the issue, you did find Cyborg, Batman, and Catwoman make their reemergence. But they believe that the rest of the Justice League is dead. So whatever happened that we still don't know, it feels like at least we're getting a step closer to that, to that resolution of what happened to him.
Yep.
Another piece of the puzzle.
Yep. Let's see. Next
so does Lex? I was about to say. So just one question: does Lex Luthor's armor have like a force field bubble or something over his head, or is he just running around with his bald head sticking out of the armor? Seriously, dude, do you want to protect your dome somehow? From at least a concussion?
Well, you know, it's based off the look of the old armor from the Super Friends cartoon. Yeah, Superpowers cartoon. It's the present is the future now, so I would assume that they would just say that there's a force field.
I would hope so.
Yeah, I would assume that the armor is more than just metal plates. That it actually, you know, has a gravitational field and energy. You know, whatever.
Right.
Science. Just say it's science.
I'm glad I read, I forget if it was the Lex Luthor Villains Month or the Bizarro one where he talked about trying to grow the Superman clone for, was it 10 years, 5 years?
Yeah, he's going to grow it for 10 right. And it hasn't had enough time. It's only been 5. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay. You know, continuity.
Yeah, and he's like, well, no power, no sun, no time like the present to activate him.
Yeah, so he's not quite done yet, but he's out of the oven. What can you do?
Cool.
Bizarro M, half-baked.
Green Arrow, number 24.
Anybody?
Yeah, I read this.
It yet,
oh, okay.
Is this
you
where
you saved it from the crickets?
Oh, you can't cricket Green Arrow now. That's a good book.
Yeah, actually, one thing about this, if for no other reason, read this for the artwork. Andrea Sorrentino, I guess, Sorrentino, she has this style. She used to do Eye Vampire, so it was a horror style. It was, you know, dark and almost like Jay Lee when he does horror stuff, kind of had that style to it. But now that she's doing a superhero book, it's very I don't even know how to explain it. There's a lot of
almost she's using design elements.
Yes, yes.
There's a lot of design elements in here. I'm flipping through the pages now.
It's very illustrated in a lot of places more than drawn. Like it's designed.
Right. There's definitely an influence from the folks that are doing Hawkeye and Daredevil now, I see.
Yeah, well, because dealing with Count Vertigo, and Count Vertigo, you know, gives you these waves of nausea, and so it creates, she does this work with all this, you know, repeating line patterns, things like that. And when she wants to draw attention to something, you know, they'll put like a little box around it, almost like it's its own inset panel, and then the box will be colored and the rest will be black and white. Or the rest will be colored and that'll be in black and white. You know, something to draw your attention to it so you know that there's something different going on, something there that you need to pay attention to. And it really makes it interesting as the story unfolds.
You know something? I never knew that that was a woman. I thought it was Andre or Santino.
It could be a dude. Andrea, what's his name? And Andrea Bocelli? You know, the singer dude, you know, he's blind. Or
I just always assumed.
I don't know.
What happens when you assume?
Yeah.
I'm going to take Dirt's word for it.
That it's a lady?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I know they're going to introduce Diggle from the TV show into the comic.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. Was that this issue?
Yeah, it happens at the end of this issue.
Okay.
Because I don't watch the TV show, and this dude appeared at the end, and I'm like, well, I don't know who this guy is. Like, so I had to jump online real quick and, oh, okay.
Yep. So you got to get familiar with the TV show now. They're starting to bring TV and movie folks over to our comic book media.
Yeah. They need to wear shirts.
All right. I'm shirtless. Oh, on, it's like every, on Green Arrow.
Yeah, every ad for Arrow is a guy with no shirt on. It's like a Calvin Klein catalog.
They know who their target audience is on the CW. Green Lantern number 24. And I believe this is the beginning of Lights Out, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I wanted to read this because it's the first issue in this story. So, you know, I hope it's good. Did you have a chance to read it, Dirt?
Yeah, I didn't read the Relic Green Lantern 23.1 when it came out. So I read it right before I sat down to read this. And they do, you know, go back to back. I mean, that's definitely the point of that Villains Month book. And the story is, I mean, exactly what we thought. The last few months, they've had a problem with the rings where the power just kind of drops out. Well, Relic basically, I won't give away the whole story, but, you know, basically he knows why the power is going out. And the only way he knows to save the power from running out completely is basically to steal it from all the lanterns who keep using it to make all these, you know, silly shapes and whatever. So he plans this attack on Oa and basically steals all of the Green Lantern energy and so destroys the central battery. And so now there's no green power except for the little bit that remains in the individual rings, and then he's setting off to go get the rest of the colors and collect it.
And it's going to go through the entire month, going through each of the Green Lantern books. So it's just a one-month crossover, and then it's over with. So that's a nice setup.
Yeah, it's a classic crossover if you think about it.
Yeah, and I'm actually going to read the other Green Lantern books for a change.
They're actually not bad, I must say. Even Red Lanterns.
Core isn't bad, but I don't think I've picked up a Red Lantern issue.
Yeah, I've read Core the last couple months, just because they changed the creative team and everything. But it's going to go to Core, the New Guardians, then Red Lanterns, and then it's going to wrap up in the Green Lantern annual. So you're going to get a big oversized finish. Yeah.
And they're teasing something big happening that's going to have lasting effects on the Green Lantern mythos.
Well, and did you read the Relic special for Villains Month?
I did.
Okay, because that, again, kind of changes. You know, several years ago when Geoff Johns took over, he changed the whole, you know, meaning of Green Lantern and who Sinestro was and the yellow energy, and he added all those other colors of the spectrum, and that kind of changed the entire universe of Green Lantern. Well, with Relic kind of redoing the history of the universe and, you know, talking about this energy again, kind of changing the entire mythos of Green Lantern again. So you're getting another layer of, you know, a retcon in a way, but it's, you know, New 52, they can always claim it's a New 52 thing, but kind of changing the entire meaning of where they get their energy from and how it works and its role in the universe.
Okay. Next up, we have He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, number 6. You can tell how excited.
No, I didn't read it. Are you kidding me? I just like, I love the old theme song.
I've given this book credit for creating its own mythos, and this is, again, kind of continuing on with their own version of the storyline and the universe. The big reveal has been made that Hordak's daughter is actually the character who eventually becomes She-Ra. Kidnapped her as a baby, raised her as his own. And Hordak himself actually, you know, in the cartoons, he just happened to be this bad guy with this tall collar and this kind of white fish face. But here he is much more of a force of evil, you know, this demon really is who he is. He calls himself a god, and he controls this alternate universe, and he just basically wants to steal the, you know, magical energy from Eternia. So it has its own kind of epic feel. And the neat thing is, because this is their own version of Masters of the Universe, they pretty much destroy Eternia in this book. They demolish Castle Grayskull. The good guys lose and are sent basically off into the wastelands to try to regroup and rebuild their army. And so it, you know, all the stuff that would never actually happen in like a kid's cartoon and all that kind of stuff, they're actually doing in here. Characters are getting hurt and maimed and dying. And so it's a lot more fun.
Okay. I know Agent 70, you've been reading it, right?
Oh, I read the first couple of issues.
Oh, okay. I thought this was the issue you were big into.
No, not so much. Like I said, the theme song rocks.
Well, yeah, who doesn't love the He-Man?
I have the power. Okay, let me go. Move on. Hinterkind number 1, anybody?
I didn't get a chance to finish it. I actually started it before the show and didn't get
no
a
kidding.
Chance all the way through it. Basically, it's a post-apocalyptic storyline. So you've got these characters in New York City in the future. It's all overrun by jungle. You know, they're hunting animals on the rooftops of the skyscrapers and all that kind of stuff. And then something about – I haven't gotten all the way through it, but at the end, these creatures seem to kind of appear that it looks like they may claim to be the people who lived on Earth before the humans, and they're coming back to reclaim the Earth. But like I said, I haven't gotten all the way through it, so I'm not exactly sure how all that works out. But, I mean, okay. It's good so far. I mean, the artwork is actually really solid in it. It's got the feeling that it could be one of those books that goes on for a long time. So we will wait and see.
We can skip movement number 5, right?
Yep.
And
come on, Scooby-Doo, where are you? Number 38. Come on now.
We'll be skipping that. And Stormwatch 24. I heard good things about Swamp Thing, but I don't read it.
You made my heart sad.
Anyone else here read it? I don't think so.
Nope.
Nope.
Who's the writer on there now? Charles Soule. Or Soul.
Soul.
Okay. He had a couple books out this week.
I don't know how he does it, man. Lawyer.
I guess we did announce last week that he's going to be writing a She-Hulk book for Marvel.
Yes.
Okay. Trillium, number 3 of 8. I still need to read number 2.
Yeah, and actually, when you go to read this, DC actually put out a notice to retailers that several pages in the book are printed upside down, and they're supposed to be. It's not an error.
Yeah.
So when you go to read it, you're going to find part of it's upside down, and don't freak out.
Don't freak out. Okay. Trinity of Sin, The Phantom Stranger, number 12.
Phantom Stranger and Stormwatch are the two books that were supposedly sent to some retailers by mistake, and you're supposed to hold them until next week.
Ooh.
Oh, so they're not supposed to be on this list.
Correct.
Okay. I don't think we read them anyway, so. Doesn't really matter. Any Dynamite books anyone wants to mention?
Not for me, not this week.
Trying to find him real quick. I will point out that
Shadow Now?
Codename Action number 2 came out with the sub cover done by Franco, Balthazar and Franco.
Mm, right.
From All Yeah Comics, so you can pick up another alternate cover done by them.
Okay. So no Dynamite, but we'll go down to any IDW for the week. Kiss Kids, number 2 of 4.
G.I. Joe. Oh, that's a cool cover, actually.
G.I. Joe?
Right. They've done G.I. Joe covers. There's been a lot in the G.I. Joe. A lot of covers similar to this, where it's basically a Joe jump, you know, doing a halo or a hey-ho jump, you know, high altitude, high opening. It's traditionally been a Snake Eyes type cover, but it's kind of cool that they put, it looks like a different, it looks like Lady J.
Yeah, it's Lady J.
Making this jump. So that's kind of cool. I like that. Just, you know, I saw it flash on the screen. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Well, this is the series called A Real American Hero, which is a continuation of the Marvel series from the 80s.
Okay.
So they basically picked it up from the number that one left off and just continued that story as if it never ended.
Right.
And then there was the Cobra Files book. And this one, the art in this one is what you see on the cover. Anton Fuso is the artist on this one. And he has a very European type style to him, very sketchy and blocky. And so it's really kind of weird to read G.I. Joe books done in that non-traditional, non-superhero, non-military type look to it.
Huh. That's interesting. We have to take a look at that.
And there was some Doctor Who stuff.
Yeah, for those that like Doctor Who.
Yeah, like Tim said, Kiss Kids number 2 of 4 is out this week.
Yeah.
Do the dirt children enjoy Kiss Kids?
Nope, they don't read Kiss Kids.
Okay. Image.
I read the Activity number 15. It's nice to see the book back. I know it has it's had a kind of an irregular bi-monthly shipping. Okay. But it was nice to be able to read an issue, and it was good. The team, the Omaha team, has been split up, and they're in different parts of the world, all over the map, in different climates. Doing different missions, and some of the recent issues have been followed up on in terms of the character development and splintering of the team. So all in all, I think it's still a fun read if you're into espionage and sort of real life, military type action. This is, a much more realistic special ops comic than you're likely to find anywhere else.
Actually, the one thing I was thinking of was, Tom Clancy died this week.
Yes.
And these books are very much in that Tom Clancy vein.
Definitely, definitely. So sad.
I'm on issue 13, so I need to catch up.
Right. But, I'm not spoiling anything by saying what I just said.
Yeah, I know. I enjoy the series a lot.
And we mentioned earlier, this the same creative duo will be doing some type of Marvel work.
Really?
Yep. They're tied to the...
Tied at the hip.
Well, they're tied to the Hunted, the Hunted teaser that was
released. Oh, no kidding. Oh, I missed that announcement. Okay, cool.
So what could be Hunted at Marvel? Some people are speculating, since Activity is sort of like is it a mystery book?
No, it's military action.
Oh, military. So people are speculating it could be some type of military type book at Marvel. Take that for what it's worth.
I could see them maybe taking over Secret Avengers, because Secret Avengers has had this kind of espionage and spy type stuff going on, so them taking it over and making it much more
action.
Yeah.
And you know what, it makes sense because Nick Spencer is tied to a teaser with Jonathan Hickman, that global book with Stefano Caselli. So if Spencer's going to be doing more stuff, more either another Avengers book or helping out with the main Avengers title, then they could take over Secret Avengers.
Interesting.
Well, and Secret Avengers would be the book that needs a revamp. I mean, it's the one that...
It's kind of meandered. That's the problem.
Yeah. That's the one I've stopped reading, too.
It's definitely meandered. It's, I think it's much like what Dirt is saying, it's lost its way.
If they took Secret Avengers and turned it into a Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., Jim Steranko type series for the modern era, I think that would be... That would be gold, baby. Gold plated diapers on that one.
Sure.
Let's see.
If they called it Secret Avengers of S.H.I.E.L.D., all the money would be there.
Anyone read Bedlam or Black Acre or Bushido?
Wait, I read Bushido.
I want to read it too, but I haven't.
I read Bushido. I don't want to spoil it too much because right on the first page, if you read any of the previews, right on the first page, it kind of delivers one of the weird premises of the story. But I don't know, either you guys ever hear of the Oriental Adventures in Advanced Dungeons and Dragons?
No.
This reminded me of that.
I remember it. I don't think I ever played it, but I remember it in the stores and stuff. We didn't get our copies of Bushido. We have to wait for next week. Yep.
That stinks. Well, I don't want to spoil it too much because it sounds like Tim wants to read it and you guys are still waiting for your copy. So yeah, I enjoyed it. I'm a big fan of samurai action in comics. I don't read all of them. You know, I'm a fan of Lone Wolf and Cub. And I usually look at these comics with samurai stories in them. This one was okay. The art was actually seemed like it was either digitally or traditionally painted. I'm not 100% sure. It might be just the color palette and the color style making me think that. But I enjoyed it for the most part. I'm not so keen on the actual premise of this particular book. But, you know, I'll see what the second issue brings.
I know the cover is what caught my attention, so it looked nice. Hopefully the art on the outside matches the inside.
Lazarus number 4 came out from Image, and I have not read this series, but somebody on Facebook actually sent me a message. They watch the shows like Comic Book Chronicles, and they recommended that I check it out. They said it was really good, so I told them that sometime in the next week I'd sit down and get caught up on the series, and we would talk about it. So,
all right.
I'm going to try that too then, because I've had issue 1 loaded on my iPad for a while, and I'm like 6 pages into the first issue.
I think issue 1 may have been free at one time from Image. If you went to like digitalcomicsreader.com or Comics Plus or on Comixology, you know, through those places, I think they gave away the first issue at one point. So,
okay. I haven't read it yet, but I want to bring up Invincible Universe number 7. I've been keeping up with the series, and I don't know if they're doing a continuation story or at the beginning, it seems like they've been doing just sort of one-off stories, and then the last like two issues have kind of tied together. So I'm not sure if Seven is continuing the story or if it's another standalone issue, but I've been enjoying it. Art's great from, I forget guy's name now.
Knock?
Yeah, Todd Knock. And does it say who the writer is?
Hester. Phil Hester.
Phil Hester. It's a nice, it's a fun book. You can sort of just jump in and you don't really need to know too much background on the characters.
See, I read the Invincible series, and so they announced this one, and I read the first few issues, but it's not anything that really has to do with Invincible. It's just basically everybody else that he's run across in their story.
Right.
And I'm just, whatever. Like, I'll read it when I have time, but it's not really a priority book for me.
Yeah, I can see that. If I wasn't so far behind in Invincible, I'd be reading just the main book. I need to just jump into it and just get to reading one of these days.
Yeah, just pick a Sunday afternoon and read like 60 issues.
It's football.
It really is.
And turn off football.
Ah.
No. Morning Glory is number 32.
Anybody?
It will be read this weekend. Hey.
Ah.
I'm enjoying this series. See, I just jumped into Morning Glories two issues ago, cool. And I'm enjoying it. That's a cool cover, though.
Somebody read Reality Check number 2.
Who did?
Anybody?
I haven't yet. I will. Because Image originally didn't load the actual book. They just loaded the cover, but they went back and fixed it. I saw today.
Oh, okay.
So I will be reading this. And yeah, that should. Oh, Todd, The Ugliest Kid on Earth, number 6. I believe Dirt talked about it last.
Yeah, well, issue. 5 came out like last week.
Yeah, didn't we do a review on this?
And I think 7 comes out next week.
Wow.
I think.
I'm guessing that they kind of fell behind for a while, and now they're pushing forward. But I haven't had a chance to get to this one yet. I wanted to go back and actually go back to 1 because I enjoyed 5 so much. I want to go back to 1 and read 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then, get back into it. Because I very much enjoyed what I read. So I need to get into speed on this.
Okay.
Up to speed, whatever.
Speed it up, man.
Speed it is.
Marvel Comics. Not an entirely huge week. But
no, it's a pretty slow week.
But good stuff nonetheless. I'm glad you gave it the round and applause. all new X-Men number 17, which I reviewed on theclicknation.com. Go read the review. And pop culture.
What does that say it again?
Oh, did we lose him?
Oh, are we frozen? Popculturenetwork.com.
But is Tim...
Tim Don.
Hello? Uh-oh.
Sound off, Tim.
He's hosting this, so if he goes down...
We go down.
Doesn't it cut us out, then?
Why do we have two Tim Dogs? We got clones!
That's kind of scary.
Oh, okay, this is odd. We have clones! Yes, we can hear you! We have a clone!
I can hear you. Hear you, but why are there two of you?
This is comedy.
Oh, wait. There's a third
one. Tell me there's going to be...
There he is again.
For the folks who are listening, you will not... Listening on a future recording, you will not appreciate how funny this looks on a screen right
Although,
now.
Although, well, Madrox appeared in this issue, right? So maybe this is a...
Oh, there we go. We just lost one.
One. Hopefully it doesn't boot me again.
Wow.
This will be funny to see what ends up in this episode. But Google and YouTube's pretty good of, like, tying stuff together once it's all up, done in process. And I would exit out my other picture here, but I don't want to mess anything up.
Sure, might sure.
Kick both out. But yeah, all new X-Men, number 17. So Magic took the original Beast and Iceman into the future, and they met another group of mutants calling themselves the X-Men of the future. And the future looks like a utopia. There's no, hey, there's my other person goes away.
Oh, you just took your clone back, your duplicate back.
Yeah, I absorbed him.
There you go.
Ew. But,
so yeah, it's a nice, pretty looking future. We got to meet a Sentinel, Iron Man, a Ice Wizard, Colossus that had his sister's soul sword.
With Hulk Hogan handlebar mustache.
Brother. We had Quinn Quire as Phoenix. Jubilee being called Wolverine. And stuff with Dazzler that I won't spoil. Actually, that was one of my favorite parts. They actually sort of, that they actually went into detail of events that could possibly happen in the future.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. I enjoyed this a lot more than I thought I would.
It was fun to read, actually.
And I like the idea that in the future, the X-Men team is just as broken and divided and, you know, as much as the current team going on, you know, because everybody's, for the last couple of years, they've been kind of complaining about how there's these two different X-Men teams and, you know, it's like it's divided and they don't agree and whatever. And so then they're showing you the future where they're divided and they don't agree. And there's two different teams, two different personalities and two different, you know, goals in mind.
I will say it's interesting that, you know, just like in the present, Kitty and Beast are on the same side. And Professor Kitty, you know, has been watching over the original X-Men. And in the future, Kitty and Beast are still on the same side. And Kitty has one of her former students, Zorn, a.k.a. Jean Grey, as an adult on her side. And, you know, that group of X-Men, at least in the present, they're seen as more as the good guys. And Cyclops, his team, is the radicals. I wonder if that still holds true in the future, as in, you know, Kitty and Beast team are seen as the good guys, or are they really bad?
Yeah, but what was up with Gandalf Iceman? Even Iceman, you know, even young Bobby Drake makes a joke about it.
Well, it's like, if you're me, then who's that big Ice Hulk thing?
Right.
And he goes, well, one thing you'll learn about your powers is, and then...
And they're like,
dot, right.
One other thing I mentioned in the review is it didn't really take much convincing to get them, the future X-Men, to come back to the present with them.
It doesn't take that much convincing to tell any of these X-Men to time travel. That's the funny part.
Right.
Like, let's just go. We'll fix everything. It's like, yeah, that doesn't make sense, but okay.
El Dork Geekus had something to say. He said, future Hank sucks. He's more irrational than Teen Jean.
Well, it's kind of depressing, but it's kind of depressing to see, you know, the world basically come to an end. What are those demons? After, like, right after Dazzler, you know, gets assassinated.
Right.
That's kind of depressing, no?
Spoilers.
Yeah, all right, that's right. Wait. Spoilers.
Yeah, there you go.
A little late on the draw there.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Dork Geekus on Twitter about this week. He said it was a mutant that did it, and I never made the connection that the dragon thing that they were fighting after what happened to Dazzler was possibly the same creature person that they were fighting in the Battle of the Atom Number 1. Because wasn't that like a dragon? Yeah, wasn't there a dragon in that? Y'all probably don't remember.
I don't remember.
Don't care.
Well, now I'm going to have to go back and chat.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, oh, continuity. See?
That's funny. So,
there was also All New X-Men Special Number 1, which I have yet to read, but that's going to tie into or cross over into Superior Spider-Man Special Number 1 and Indestructible Hulk Special Number 1.
Yeah, I enjoyed this one too. I'm 2 for 2 on X-Men books this week, which is, you know, somebody buy a lotto ticket, because I was worried this whole thing with, you know, Dr. Octopus, I was afraid that this is somehow going to tie in with Dr. Octopus being pulled out of, you know, Parker's body or something, but that's not what this is at all. This is some sort
of... It was, but anyway.
It's some sort of time stream displacement, but the problem is this Dr. Octopus from the past comes to the future, but current Dr. Octopus has no memory from this time period of his life being sucked into the future. So something has gone wrong with the time stream, which again is kind of tying back to the whole Age of Ultron mess with the time stream too much. And they even make some sort of comment. Spider-Man says something like, you know, well, how could there be this massive shift in the time stream? It's not like there's a whole bunch of people doing a whole bunch of time travel right now. And of course, all the young X-Men kind of look at each other like, oh crap, this is our fault. So it, you know, ties back in with everything that's going on with Battle of the Atom, too.
I was going to say it's more along the lines of Ock is not as smart as he thinks he is. There is a lot of time travel going on.
Well, I mean, to be fair, though, he kind of calls out, like, that's the type of thing that would cause this. He just doesn't know of it going on. And sure enough, it is going on. So.
Right.
But it's going to tie into Hulk, because Hulk's been doing a bunch of time travel in his book, and I have not been reading that at all, so... I may go back an issue or two and try to get up to speed with what's going on with Hulk and all his time travel stuff.
Hulk is good, I will say.
It's been enjoyable.
Throw that out there.
Yeah, it's just an adventure. I mean, it's a time travel adventure, but it's a fun adventure to read.
Okay. Next up.
Well, what I really wanted to read, and well, I did not have any time.
The Avengers Endless Wartime hardcover came out this week. I had to take time to dedicate to that to read.
Yep. Yeah, I'm jazzed to read this. I am not happy that, you know, there's just not enough time to read that between, you know, release and the show. So hopefully we'll have some word on it next week.
And Captain America Living Legend, number 1 of 4. I read.
What'd you think? I didn't have a chance to read it.
I mean, the art was beautiful. The story was kind of just getting set up right now. There wasn't really much to it. Cat was in it for like the last 1/3 of the book, or 3/4 of the book, whichever half that works. The last part of the book.
The last part. The last quarter. Last third.
Yeah, last quarter of the book.
Got it.
Now this was supposed to be the Astonishing Captain America series that was going to come out like 3 years ago.
Yikes.
So I guess the question is this going to have the Age of Ultron feel to it where everything seems just a little off because so many changes have happened, or is this all set in the past so it doesn't make a difference?
Couldn't tell you.
I will say that they did have a little...
continuity gaffe?
No, they had a comment saying this takes place after Captain America number 10.
Hmm.
Which they should have just thrown that. And this was in the middle of the book when Cap, I think. Oh, when they showed Sharon Carter.
Oh, okay.
They could have just put it at the beginning of the book like they do Savage Wolverine.
Spoiler.
This takes place out of. Don't worry about continuity, just read it. Daredevil, Dark Knights, 5 of 8.
I read this. It's an interesting, you know, the story was just weird. You know, this whole story with this little midget guy hopping around the city and Daredevil chasing him. It's just a weird story, but it was just a fun read. Like, the last couple of issues have just been really fun. So it's nice to, you know, I guess because Wade has just a hammer lock on the regular title, this gives other creators a chance to play with, you know, to have fun and create stories for Daredevil and tell them. So, you know, these are fun stories. I know that the next story is going to be completely different. So, but, you know, this one, the antagonist, I can't even call him a villain, but the antagonist is called, his name Bugget, and he's a little, like, 10-inch high dude. And it's just it's as ridiculous as it sounds. It looks even more ridiculous as Daredevil's chasing him across the streets of the rooftops of Manhattan. So, you know, it's a fun read. If anyone's been looking for something short and sweet, I would suggest going back and reading the last few issues of this just to catch the story arc and have some enjoyment. Just enjoy a short, fun read that only lasts about 3 issues.
Anything you want to add, Dirt?
No, I haven't had a chance to read it.
Okay. You are reading it, though, right?
I'm on, I think, issue 3. So.
Okay. For some reason, I was thinking that was one of the books you were kind of keeping up with. Phantomettes, Matt's number 1 of 4.
Anybody?
Nope.
I do not care about Phantomex. I just don't.
I like them in Uncanny X-Force, but...
Yeah, but I don't care about the guy. I didn't even want him in Uncanny X-Force. They had to throw him somewhere, He's a Morrison character that, he's cool in spurts, but I just don't see the attraction or the draw. So, maybe I'm just being cranky about it.
I think the only reason he's still being used is because he's tied to Weapon, Plus or...
Right, the Weapon Plus program.
Yeah. It's always good to bring those characters out of mothballs. Even though you don't see Kane or some of those original X-Force characters that Rob Liefeld created anymore. He might actually be dead, so who knows?
I still remember that a character named G.W. Bridge.
Yeah, G.W. Bridge.
That made me laugh so hard. As a New Yorker, I was like, really? G.W. Bridge, Liefeld? My goodness.
See, whenever I become a writer for Marvel, I'm going to bring back all these characters from my 90s childhood. Just so you watch Warpath from X-Force finally going to be put back on an X team.
That's funny. Well, you go for it, Tim. We'll look forward to it.
Hunger number 3 of 4, the ultimate comics event book.
Yes.
You read it?
Of course I read it.
What'd you think?
It's an Ultimates book. I gotta read it.
Nah.
Let's see, I'm trying to find my copy of it here so I can flip through it real quick. I am so not being 100% familiar with everything in the Ultimate Universe. Captain Marvel is alive in this version.
Right.
And they... Apparently, the Kree are the ones who created the Galactus Swarm in the Ultimate Universe, and they created it to get rid of all of the species in the universe that weren't... Well, they just said anybody who wasn't worth it, basically, okay. Just to get the weak races out of the universe, and it backfired on them. And so Rick Jones, who becomes the... he's chosen by the Watcher to be this gold energy being, and I'm not sure exactly who he's supposed to be in the ultimate, version of who, but he basically, for the first time, he's kind of gets that what it means to be a superhero moment. He runs across a memorial to Peter Parker, and he knew Peter Parker as a person. He didn't know that he was Spider-Man, and now suddenly he's had that moment where he... learns the story that, wait a minute, that's the guy who was Spider-Man and now he's dead. And he's been trying to run away from his duty, as a hero. And he has that moment of who Peter is and decides he's got to stand up and fight. So he's got to figure out what exactly his powers are that he's been given by the Watcher. And he teams up with Marvel and Silver Surfer to take down Galactus. And Marvel basically says that he's got a weapon. They have something that they can use to destroy Galactus, and then he dies.
Oh.
Which, kind of a spoiler, but, they're destroying the whole Ultimate Universe. But now they're kind of... He's grabbing... Rick Jones grabs Marvel's helmet and puts it on and says, I got to figure out what this does, and if this is the death of me, then that's what it's going to be, but he's going to do what it takes to be a hero. So this is where the series kind of takes that turn where the people have to stand up, they gotta, fight and move forward. But of course, as we know, they're gonna fail because all of the ultimate books are gonna turn into cataclysm books as he fails in his fight. So I'm interested to see, since we know he's going to fail, how are they gonna wrap up the series without it being, hey, I'm gonna fight him, oh, I failed. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, everybody knows that he's not going to win, so now I'm interested to see how they do that.
I skimmed this. I enjoyed one thing. I don't know if it's been done yet. It was kind of a rethinking or reimagining of the Kree armor as they kind of step out of it. It sort of becomes an exoskeleton. Did you see that? Like, where Ronan the Accuser is going to see his family, and he takes his helmet off, and like basically his armor just comes off around him, and he can step out of it. I thought that was kind of cool.
A shell behind him that's kind of standing. Right.
I thought that was kind of cool. Like, you know, the way they kind of rethought the tech that the Kree warriors, that the Kree, you know, army was giving these the Kree spacemen. I thought that was a pretty cool, idea.
The other thing that I thought was interesting is they actually go up and confront Galactus in space, because they all know Galactus as the Swarm. They don't know.
Right, and they all know that's always a good idea.
Yeah, well, but they go up to him and confront him, and Galactus just basically says, "I'm not from this world, but I will, you know, I will own this world. I will destroy this world, whatever." And he basically just kind of announces that he's not supposed to be there. That he is, you know, from this other universe. So they're starting to put that picture together of the other Marvel universe that exists outside of the Ultimate Universe where this Galactus came from.
So it sounds like I have a lot to read.
It's a fun series.
It didn't take that long. I mean, I did skim it, but it didn't take that long to get through. It's definitely moving along.
Unlike Iron Man,
the next book in the list.
Oh, Infinity the Hunt number 2 of 4.
This was not fun. This is probably, if we ever create a least click or last click or lowest click or worst click of the week, this is mine. I was not happy that I had wasted time reading this.
What did you not like about it?
Everything. Let's just put it this way. There's characters that were created obviously as fodder. I just thought some of the characterizations were just typical and lame. So I'm not happy with this story. Who's the creative team on those? Matt Kent and Steven Sanders. I know that Kint has some momentum from Mind MGMT.
Yeah, Mind Management.
Right. So, what's that?
My brother tweets that he's speaking as Dirt.
Oh,
is this Cap series like the Age of Ultron? Me, does this mean Cap is going to get his head blown off?
Oh.
That did happen, didn't it?
It did. I was about to say, I'm like, what did I say that was so funny?
Well,
I didn't say anything that funny.
Rather have his head blown off than fall like black.
And
just twist his neck or whatever happened to him.
Anyone else read Infinity the Hunt number 2? Anybody?
I will. I just haven't.
Okay.
Same with the next book, Iron Man number 16.
This was a weird book. I read.
Is this the end of this story?
Yes. But what's funny about this book is that you know, you've heard me say that I can't stand that the story is taking this long. The funniest thing about this book is that the art is nice. It's Carlo Pagulayan. You know, he did the Planet Hulk stuff with Greg Pak. The lines are sharp. The art is nice. The story with the, you know, in space with the Regellian recorder, you know, the Renegade recorder, right. And the whole, like, was it like World Killer Robot or whatever you're supposed to pilot? It ends halfway through the book. Seriously, it ends halfway through the book. And then the last half of the book basically sets up the new status quo and where the story is going forward. It's ridiculous. You know, they couldn't, you know, I mean, maybe I'm a stickler for like nice, neat endings that take an entire issue. You know what I mean? It's like, why would an ending to a long story arc end in half an issue?
To set up the next arc.
Yeah.
And give you more questions than answers.
I guess.
I'm assuming that's what happened here.
I guess. Give it a shot if you just want to see how it ends. It's not, no, there's nothing earth-shattering going on. It was just nice to see that it ended. I was really happy to see Pagulayan art in there. That was pretty sharp.
Okay. Marvel Knights, Spider-Man 1 of 5.
Anybody read this? I wanted to read this.
I did too. I haven't. I will.
I had sitting here to read. I just haven't had a chance to get to it yet. I
saw one of the guys in the comic book community circle on Google Plus raved about it before the show. So
nice.
There's that. And actually, let me give him a shout out. Justin Beeson. Justin Beeson from the comic book Communicast is the name of their podcast. And they're on iTunes, so check them out.
Nice. Hey, Dirt, I'm sorry to loop back to something we had talked about earlier. How were sales of Avengers Endless Wartime?
Nobody ordered it.
No. But anybody pick it up from the store? Did you buy a couple of store copies?
No, we usually don't. If it's over, like $9.99, it's one of those things that we usually don't order any unless somebody asks for it.
Anybody asked for it today?
No.
Or yesterday?
Dang. Uh-uh. If someone asks for one, we might order two.
Gotcha.
If we sell two, we might order three or four.
Right.
But since nobody even, mentioned it, then no.
I'll be interested to see how you mean it digitally, how I'll like it. And if I like it, maybe I'll actually pick up the hardcover.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the same boat.
As far as our store goes, most people seem to be concerned with ongoing stories. They don't really care too much for
standalone.
For one shots, mini series, and graphic novels. They just don't really, they don't really seem to care as much.
Well, I have to admit that's how I am as a reader.
For me, it depends. If the art is nice or if the story premise is good, I might pick it up. I'll probably wait though. That's the thing. If it's I'm used to the store already having it so I can look at it and then make the decision. As opposed to, kind of hearing word of mouth and trying to figure out if I want to order it. So
yeah, I know a lot of stores are big on trades.
Right.
And a lot of people say that they wait for the trade, but we're kind of the opposite of that. Trades are not really a big part of what we do with our comic readers. I mean, we sell everything online. So, we sell a lot of trades online to random people around the world. But as far as the guys who come in the store, nobody really comes in the store looking for a trade or looking for a graphic novel. They're the guys, picking up their weekly dose.
Right.
Dork Geeker says, Infinity Hunt seems like Avengers Arena minus the characterization.
Mm-hmm.
The Doom School kids left much to be desired.
Agreed. Good points, Dork Geeker.
Mighty Avengers number 2. I think I'm actually enjoying this series.
I'm enjoying it despite the art.
The art actually is fine to me. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because it's an action book, and he being Greg Land isn't drawing people posing and weird stances with their mouths wide like the Joker. He's actually having to show action sequences.
Well, he gets to cheat and just show gritted teeth, right?
Yeah, but it seems fine to me. It's not bothering me like it did Iron Man when he was writing that or drawing
that. His art always bothers me, but I like what I like about this story is that there's characters in here that I've wanted to see re-enter the spotlight for a while, like Monica Rambeau, Spectrum. I'm so glad that she's in this. So I'm definitely going to be reading this while she's a major player.
I will say I was kind of surprised to see them, reintroduce the Blue Marvel, and they gave him the gray sideburns like old Hal Jordan, basically showing how old he is.
Yeah, no, whatchamacallit. I don't know if you read the limited series or not.
No.
But I did. I actually collected. I have all the issues. He's been around. He basically retired. He was never frozen like Cap in suspended animation. He's basically aged, even though he's aged at a really reduced rate. He's definitely aged. So he's, like since his inception, basically is one of the very first superheroes. He stayed active, just not as a superhero. So he's aged accordingly. So he's got the gray hair, but from what I remember, his power set and his power levels are through the roof. So he's definitely going to be an asset. What I don't like is that he's just another Superman type character, where now we've got a couple of them running around the Marvel Universe.
But he's smart.
That's right.
Well, I'm just saying I'm surprised they gave him the gray gray hair because, you know, the big thing is, you know, have our heroes be young now. Don't show them to be old geezers.
I guess.
Savage Wolverine number 9.
Anybody read it?
Anybody? I read it.
What'd you think?
I don't know. It was. I don't know. I'm not familiar with Jock like everyone else is who did. Uh-huh. He did the writing and art. I mean, the art was dark and.
Kinda... I like him on some things, like when he did The Losers for DC. That was a, you know, spy action thriller book. He had a different, you know, feel to it, but. I don't know. Sometimes with a character like Wolverine, I just don't think it works quite as well.
I mean, it was fine. It was nothing that as much as people were like hyping it up and, oh my God, Jock's doing a Wolverine story. I got to read it. It was fine. That's all I got to say.
All right.
Superior Foes of Spider-Man number 4. I have not read it yet.
Nope.
I'm enjoying the series, though, I will add. It's a nice little humorous superhero book with villains as the lead characters.
Sure.
Thunderbolts, number 16.
This is the other book from Charles Soule.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'll read it probably tomorrow, actually.
I read this. I won't spoil anything. It's actually not that bad. You know, I'm not a fan of the new, you know, I'm just not a fan of the latest incarnations of Thunderbolts, but it's not, you know, this issue read pretty well. So.
My question is, I wonder, because supposedly Dan Slott's going to do something with Venom at the end of the Venom Superior Spider-Man team up slash fight in upcoming issues of Superior Spider-Man. I forget what it's called. It's called Deadly something, but anyway. Supposedly something's supposed to happen to Venom, so I'm wondering if that'll have repercussions in Thunderbolts.
We'll see.
Wait and see.
We'll see.
That's it.
No Valiant? Oh, okay.
Yeah, for Marvel. Right. Valiant had books that I haven't read yet.
I read Quantum and Woody, and I liked it. It's fun.
Quantum and Woody is awesome. Actually, should be one of the first books I read when it's available.
Right. I like this. I enjoyed reading it this week. So I would recommend picking up this series if you're looking to jump onto something that's not far along. It's only issue number 4. It's probably not that hard to track down issues 1, 2, and 3. And if you're doing it digitally, obviously it's a piece of cake. So I recommend picking this up because it was a fun read.
And I think I believe this is the end of the first arc. And when it picks back up with the next issue, they're going to have a different artist. Ming Doyle, I believe her name is.
Okay.
She does some other stuff that I can't think of right now. Let me see if I can find her name. Hopefully I said her name right. Yep, there she is. Looking up her Twitter account. Wants tweet that decides it wants to cooperate.
No.
Yeah, she doesn't really say on her page what she does, so forget all that. But she does other work. I just can't think of it right now. So that's it. So now we have our click of the week. For books I've read, I'm gonna go with the one I actually reviewed, which is All New X-Men.
Okay. Dirt.
Who wants to go next? He's going to choose All New X-Men 2.
Jeez.
Just because you said you liked it.
Actually, I'm kind of torn between a bunch of different books. Because I want to pick Green Lantern, but I kind of want to pick Detective, but I kind of want to pick Batwing, but I kind of want to pick All New X-Men Special.
You can pick 2. It's okay.
Yeah.
I picked 2 once before. That's what I'm saying. Like it's silly to pick 3, but if you want to say there's a tie between
what about 4? That's fine. Gosh. I guess I'm going to go with Green Lantern simply because the way they're changing the mythos, well, they're not really changing it, but they're adding to it. The way that they change what the powers kind of mean and what the energy stands for and where it comes from and how it works in the universe. They're, it's all new and all different, but it all makes sense and it builds upon everything else that's been done. So it's one of those things where they say it'll never be the same, and it kind of won't ever be the same. It is changing it, but it's doing it in a way that makes sense.
Cool.
All right.
Cool. And I guess my click of the week is, surprise, surprise, Quantum and Woody number 4. I just had a lot of fun reading this issue. And, from the last bit that I was talking, that I said about the issue, it was so much fun. I almost picked All New X-Men this week because of the revelations and that, the opening scenes with Dazzler and, in the book were really good. But I probably had the most enjoyment reading this book. So that's why this is my click of the week. Quantum and Woody number 4 from Valiant Comics.
Good pick. Because I'm sure I'm going to enjoy it too.
There you go.
All right, so that should be the show for tonight. I want to thank everyone for tuning in live, for those who did. Shout outs to B_Adam_Black on Twitter and @DorkGeekus on Twitter for tweeting us and using the Comic Book Chronicles hashtag. And follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. Oh, I see once I lost my connection, my mind went away from the...
Yeah, your overlay is gone.
Yeah, my overlay is gone, which is fine. But I'm at TimDogg98. Dirt is at PCN_Dirt. PopCultureNetwork.com is the website. Agent 70 is at Agent_70. So once again, thank you all for tuning in. Be back next week to discuss New York Comic Con breaking news and next week's new comic book releases. So with all that, I'm Tim DOGG and we're the Comic Book Chronicles and we are signing off.
Chronic, yo. I'm steady tripping over them pages. Some dog and Adam Black. No. Yeah. Graphic or not, this is motherfucking comic book art. The man, Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, Jim Lee, Rob Liefeld. What? We don't give a. As long as them pages are hot and it's written by Chris Claremont. Jeff Johns, Alan Moore, or Grant Morrison.